If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, for a few moments? And tonight, we'll cover a subject, and tonight is the subject of appearance of evil. Appearance of evil. And kind of where we are on this, well, you'll see in just a moment, but in Matthew chapter 26, I want us to look there for a few moments, and we're going to look at this subject. This is kind of what we would call, how is education ranked again? You got elementary school, you got middle school, you got high school. What's it called next? Undergrad. Okay, junior college, undergrad. Then you got graduate school, you got master's. Then what's like the doctorate called? What is that? What's that called? PhD school. All right, so this is kind of the PhD tonight. And so this is not for baby Christians or new Christians. This is for those that have been saved a good while that really want to please the Lord. And if it was the Lord standing here tonight saying, if I asked you to do something for me, would you do it? Most of us, I think, would say, doesn't matter what it is, I would do it. Maybe an immature Christian would say, well, I need to know all the details first. And so we're going to talk about this tonight. Obviously, God never wants any of us to do evil. But there's a step beyond that, and it's called the appearance of evil. So let's see what the Bible says about this. Let's pray. Father, bless the study of thy word as we rightly divide it. We divide it so it's palatable, bite-sized pieces that we can swallow. Pray that you would help us to see what you're saying and understand it and make decisions tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are. We're in Matthew chapter 26, and the exact verse is verse 41, if you want to see it. Matthew 26 and verse 41, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember what he told the disciples. Here it is. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Notice what he said, that ye enter not into it. He didn't say, watch and pray lest ye be tempted. He said that ye enter not into. So here's a spot, no temptation. Now I'm being tempted. He said, God's not impressed with us being in a tempted place and resisting. He'd rather us to step away, not even being tempted. You heard about the little boy. He was going to go. His mother said, don't you dare go to the neighborhood swimming pool. I don't want you swimming after school. Well, he didn't come home that afternoon. And she went to the neighborhood pool, and there he was doing a double flip off the high diving board. And he's in his bathing suit. His mother said, I told you. He said, well, I brought my bathing suit just in case I was tempted. So that's kind of that. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at a few of these verses. I'll go quickly. I know many of you have had a long day. And here it is, Ephesians 5. We see this great verse here. And it says in Ephesians 5, verse number 10, the Bible says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So an immature Christian says, well, you prove to me that this is wrong. You ever hear someone say, what's so wrong with... Now, so what the proof of the pudding is, it ought to be, I, as a mature Christian, ought to be able to prove what is right with that activity. So that's what he's saying here. He's saying, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. What would the Lord accept? What is he pleased with? And then we see in 1 Thessalonians, this will be our text verse tonight for a moment, just combating some lies. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse, and these are these short little verses in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain, easy to memorize, from all, here it is, appearance of evil. He didn't say abstain from all evil. He said even the appearance of evil. So most Christians will abstain from evil, but the mature Christian will abstain even from the appearance of it. So we'll just kind of build on this tonight. So what does the word appearance there in that verse means? If you want to jot down the notes, here it is. Appearance means that which strikes the eye. That which strikes the eye. So for instance, if we went to the mall tonight, most people, if they're in the mall, well, number one, if you're a man, you shouldn't be there anyway. Real men don't shop. Oh, okay, no. But for the most part, you may see hundreds of people and they may see you. And at a distance, all they see is the outside. Now, we understand when God looked at David, he said, they were choosing the king. And he said, well, surely it's not little David. And God says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. So remember that. Man only sees the outside. Now, God sees the heart, but people only see the outside. And so the outside is very important because that's all they see. That's what our neighbors see. That's what the people down the street see. That's what most people who see us will ever see, just the outside appearance. Now, with that in mind, let's also look in Genesis 35. Genesis 35, Jacob is getting right with the Lord. He is getting ready to come back to meet his brother Esau. So in Genesis 35, notice what's happening. He is getting right. He's coming back to Bethel, which means the house of God. And Genesis 35, in verse 2, notice what he tells his four wives. Notice what he tells his 12 kids. He's getting right. Genesis 35, 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, even his servants, put away the strange gods that are among you. Get rid of the idols and be clean and change your garments. And that phrase, change your garments, means change them from what you're wearing to something different. He said, we're not going into God's land and seeing my brother. We're not going back to Bethel dressed like this. Isn't it amazing? So even part of getting right with the Lord, it even affects our outward appearance. Interesting. I still remember we'd come home from teen camp from Pot of Gold in Texas. And back then, you know, it was just a different battle. But back then, long hair was a big, big deal. And the rock opera Hair had come out, and the Beatles had grown their hair long, and every guy wanted it long. Paul Revere and the Raiders, they all had ponytails and wanted to look like Paul Revere, and everyone wanted their hair long. And so a lot of the teenage boys wanted their hair long. We wanted to fit into the world. But when kids got right with the Lord, they got haircuts. And there was a barber shop there close by the camp, and a lot of guys said, hey, I want to have my hair cut. I want to look different when I come home. It was amazing. Just it was the outward appearance. So several statements here. Well, let's look at one more in 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'll give you some blanks in just a moment. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 3. And again, this is meat for mature people. So 2 Corinthians 3. Paul is writing this church he helped start outside of Athens, named Corinth, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2. He says, ye are our epistle, or letter. Ye are our letter written in our hearts. So what good does that do? Known and read of all men. Paul said, you're my letter. And when people see you, they're reading the letter. They're reading something. They know something just by looking at you. Kind of interesting, these thoughts. So several statements here. Here we go. Number one, no Christian should do evil. Number two, mature Christians do not want to appear evil. Probably bizarre. That means you probably shouldn't dress up like a devil worshiper and walk around town if you're not a devil worshiper. Number three, let's just look at some particulars. Here's one, drinking liquor. We were coming home from camp years ago, and a guy in our youth group, my age, his name was Don. We were always trying to out prank somebody. You know, camp was too boring, so we had to add a spark to it. I still remember Ricky Jarovic, the old TV series Kung Fu. You remember that Kung Fu? David Carradine. It was a real slow-moving video about the cowboy karate guy. And then they had one fight scene. That's the only thing we watched. And so everyone became a karate star. You know, they thought, you know, they could do the karate and they could kick. And so I was able to kick the top of a door frame. Big deal. And so I could kick the top of the door frame. So Ricky Jarovic was there, and he said, I can do that. I said, but can you do it backwards? He said, do what? I said, can you stand here and kick the back of the door frame, the top of it, backwards? Well, simple-minded. He jumps, tries to kick it backwards, and he lands on his chin. His chin splits. There's blood everywhere. Now we have to go to the hospital. He has to get stitches. Simple-minded. About that time, Don found a beer can just laying on the ground, washed it out in the men's bathroom, poured his soda in it, and said, look, Brother Smith, I got a beer. And he's drinking soda out of the beer can. Brother Smith was not very happy. He wanted to do Don's funeral that afternoon. Now, was it wrong, him drinking soda? No. Was it wrong, him going to camp? No. But now it appeared to anyone that just looked that kid's drinking beer. And so several months ago, someone had bought some, my wife really likes it, these Martinellis, this apple juice. You can get them at Smart and Final. They're about like this. But they're kind of yellow color, like something I don't drink. It's not a yellow wine. But it looks like beer. And the bottles look like beer. Someone said Corona, whatever that is. And so now we ended up with this Martinelli's in our house. And it's just apple juice. It's not fermented. Know what I did? I didn't drink it on the back porch, where my neighbors would look and say, well, look at that, the pastor drinks beer. It looked like a beer bottle. You say, well, nothing's wrong with drinking Martin. No, nothing's wrong with drinking it. But I'm real concerned if it looks evil to a non-Christian neighbor. Abstain from all appearance of evil. What else may something fit in here too? Here's another one. Illustration. Gambling. We could probably spend a whole night just talking about gambling, the foolishness of losing money, and all the people that lost everything they had and then borrowed money and it got in their system and they just lost and lost and lost. Now, I don't know how many of you have gambled in the past and really had to control it. Maybe you started flipping coins first and then maybe it was a bet and then pretty soon it was Reno or Las Vegas and, well, we're just going to take $1,000 and then you flushed it all down the toilet, lost it all and so forth. So I was in, and I've told the story, I was speaking in Reno at a church years ago, probably 30 years ago. The pastor said there's this great buffet here in town, and great food. It's like $9.99. I said, man, let's go. We pull into the parking lot. Last second, didn't even think it through. He says, are you okay with going in a casino? We have to cut through the lobby and kind of cut through and go to the buffet. I said, man, I'm good. And so as I walked into that casino, ding, 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 the girls with the little trays of martinis everywhere and the dice and cigarette smoke. The Holy Spirit said, you better enjoy this meal because it's the last time you'll be in here because I won't be in here anymore. And so the Lord put it heavy on my heart. You say, well, what would be so wrong with eating at a buffet? It wasn't the eating. Now our car is parked out in front. So anybody passing by would say, oh, the pastor gambles. The pastor goes to Las Vegas. The pastor gambles. There's his car. See what I'm saying there? You say, well, people shouldn't judge. It takes a lifetime to build a good name, and you can lose it pretty quick. And I can eat a buffet somewhere else. I can pay $10 extra. No, you can't. In Napa, I can pay $100 extra and maybe have, well, maybe I can get it from Uber or something. I don't know, but it's worth it right there. Amen. And some of this is just Christian growth. Others may. I cannot. You may be able to do that. I can't do it. Appearance of evil. Here's another one, and we don't have time. I don't have pictures and things like that. Christian rock. Sometimes you'll see some of these mega churches, and it looks like if you turn the volume down, it looks like a rock concert at the Oakland Coliseum, or maybe a halftime show for the Super Bowl. They've got the lights, they've got the dancers, they got the background, they got this, they got the drums, they got the electric guitar, but it's, quote, a Christian group. I'm not questioning their motives, but we've never sold tickets to hear our choir. If you've got a talent, you ought never sell tickets to hear you sing God's word. We've had some great guest speakers here. We've never sold tickets to hear them speak. So a lot of times, it looks just like the world. It's appearance of evil. It looks like the world, acts like the world, sounds like the world. Personally, that's why I don't listen to a lot of these secular, quote, Christian radio stations. I'd rather me decide, here's the 12 songs I'm listening to this next hour, instead of someone give me 35 songs and two or maybe conservative. Just a thought. Okay, we're moving along. A couple people restless. Number next blank. Here we go. And we're just building, I guess, here. Next, movie theaters. Movie theaters. So when I was a kid, all the movies were pretty decent. I mean, we had great Christian movies. Wizard of Oz. Let me see. Gone with the Wind. I think that was a pretty modest movie. I think they were all modest. Let me see. Greatest Story Ever Told. Ben-Hur. Anyway, ancient. So, the last one I ever saw was when I was 15. It was PG. And they had a scene in it that was very ungodly. I've never gone back. So, Pastor, going to a movie, what is so wicked about it? It may not be the movie, Finding Nemo. It may not be what is shown there, but when you Google, what's at the Napa Theater right now? R-rated. PG-13, PG-13, PG-1G. Bedroom scenes, God's name taken in vain, nudity, nakedness, some words I'm not going to name, men kissing men, women kissing women. That's in about half of those movies. And if you're paying money for two men to kiss, that's pretty vile. If you're paying money so a man and a woman get in bed together, that's pretty perverted. If you're paying money to see someone take their clothes off and get paid to do that, anyone that would support that has a part in that. But here's where the appearance of evil comes in. You pull your car up, you say, well, I'm going to see Nemo. You know, these days, it's so different. It's so convenient. You can rent almost anything you want to and have it on your laptop just like that. You don't even have to do that anymore. When I was a kid, Wizard of Oz came on once a year, and it was always Sunday night. And Dorothy would have, dun 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 dun. You're the witch hazard. Time for church. Well, I want the Toto. And then we missed it. That was it. We never got to see the ending. Well, this has just come out. We've got to see it. You don't have any more patience than that. So, here's what happens. You pull up, pull your car up, and here's what people say. Carnal people, lost people. Oh, they go to movies. They throw you in the mix. They go to movies. That means they assume You see all of those. They didn't know you saw Nemo. They don't follow you in. It's they go to movies. Do you kind of follow where we're going here? You say, man, that's far-fetched, Pastor. All I know, last one I saw, I was age 15. That was over 50 years ago. I promise God I will never, ever go inside a theater again. Because when I sat there, the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing here? Why are you listening to my name in vain? Why are you watching this? I thought you was called to preach. Now, I thought you wanted me to use you. What? God tore me up about it. So, Pastor, cussing never bothers me. Nudity never bothers me. But we need to have your funeral this week because you're dead. Okay, enough of that. So here's a free one here, quickly. How about this one? Bars and nightclubs. So it's not a sin to drink milk. But if you're going to get a glass of milk, it's probably best not to go to the Green Lantern, the Green Door, the Escapade, or whatever the name of the bar is. Pull your car in, walk in, and get a glass of milk. Say, how come? Again, they go to bars. We saw their car. They go to bars. They're assuming you're drinking liquor. Say, I'm just getting milk. They shouldn't be so judgmental. That's kind of how people are. Come on, folks. Where's the amen somewhere? Okay. All right. So, here's a man. He drives down the highway. He sees a very attractive woman. She's in the parking lot at a motel. He's married to someone. She's married to someone. It's not his mate. Hey, here's a motel room. Here's a motel room. You need counseling. I'm a pretty good counselor. Here we go. You see him walk into the motel room. The door closes. Now help me. We're not thinking evil about them, are we? Pastor, that's judging. It's judging. You don't know what they're doing. No, you don't know what they're doing in that motel. You don't know. But it appears, what's the word? So it starts with evil. So see, sooner or later, Christians have got to make it a decision. There's some things I'm just not going to do. Because that little bit of enjoyment is not worth my name. I've worked hard at trying to get respect from neighbors and unsaved relatives. And now all of a sudden they think I go to nightclubs. They think I drink alcohol. They think I pay for ungodly viewing. And so it's an appearance of evil. Then here's another one real quickly here. You say, well, Pastor, we're not supposed to judge. Judge not. Do you even know where that verse is? But it is in the Bible. So it's not judging if you see a fireman walking down the street with his fire hat on. He's got a hose. I'd probably say, fireman. I saw a guy coming out of a store yesterday, and he had on a military uniform. He was in the Army, and I recognized the uniform. It's not judging to say, I bet he's in the Army. I've seen some football practices and guys in pads this year coming back from Napa and Vintage area. And I said, I bet they're football players. It's not judging. It's how they're dressed. In our society, sometimes now we have men dressed as women, entertaining the kindergartners, reading to them, spending time with them. Appearance of evil. It just looks evil. When a man dresses like a woman and a woman dresses like a man, there's something going on there. It's confusion. Now, with that in mind, let's look at just several other scriptures here. I don't know if we'll have time to finish. So now let's look at the clothing just for a moment. Can clothing appear evil at times? What does God say about clothing? Does it really matter how I dress? Hey, summertime's coming. What's that mean? When we were kids, when summertime came, it meant no more shirts. I mean, for the summer, cut your pants off, just shorts, barefooted. And man, we'll find some shirts when school starts. And so clothing, it can be worldly, that's the blank, or godly. Notice, please, in James chapter 1 for a moment. We'll try to hasten. James 1, it's a lot of scriptures. Won't have time to read them all. But James 1, God is very concerned if our clothing is worldly. Notice what he says, James 1, 27. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So God says, I hate the world. I hate what it stands for. Don't be close enough where it gets its spots on you. Then we see in James 4:4, it goes a little bit deeper. James is the mature book, signs of a mature Christian. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Harsh talk right there. God says, I'm not kidding. He says, you cannot hold my hand and hold the world's hand at the same time. That's what our modern churches are doing. They're holding God's hand and the world and saying, it's okay. God says, it's not okay. You that are married here tonight, try this. I dare you. Find your old girlfriend or old boyfriend's picture, the one you dated before you married, the one you married. Frame it and put it up tonight at your house. Good meeting you. Nice seeing you. Sayonara. You say, well, my mate is so spiritual, it wouldn't bother them at all. No, it wouldn't once they bury you. It'd be great. See, somehow we think, well, it's not a big deal. God's the one that determines when things are a big deal or not. It's not us to say, well, it's no big deal how I dress and where I go. You know, God loves you, period. But there's a city to reach and there's people to influence. It's a big deal. And so we see this, and there's a whole fad now amongst Christians. It's people who've backslidden. They've gotten away from the Lord, so I can grow my hair the way I want to. I can wear what I want to. I can go where I want to. I can drink alcohol if I want to. I can cuss a little bit if I want to, because we're under grace. That's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. And so we see sometimes clothing can be worldly or godly. God is very, and the blank is jealous over our relationship with the world. Now, what is God's plan for clothing? Is it that big a deal if a man wears a dress? If the pastor's in a dress Sunday? If Brother Berto starts wearing a dress on his bus route on Sunday? If every man in the church pierces all their ears, pierces their nose, anything wrong with that? If all the men start wearing a ring on every finger and four or five bracelets, anything wrong with that? Notice what he says here in Exodus 28. This is real important. This is an important one here. Exodus 28 is talking about the high priest's clothing. The guy just under Moses, Aaron, and his sons. Notice why they had this beautiful clothing. They represented the Lord, but Exodus 28:2, thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron and thy brother, the purpose, for glory and beauty. When Mrs. Evans used to speak here, she said every time she bought a dress that was a wow. She said, don't just buy an outfit that fits, buy something that when you put it on, someone says, wow, that's beautiful. And so what's that kind of mean to us? It means for us, if we're parents, dress our kids sharp. Give them something that looks good on them. Something that's pretty, something that's glorious, something that, man, that is nice. People say, well, it doesn't matter what people wear. Well, the public schools have thrown the dress code out the window. How'd that help them? Is the education better now that the pants are falling off and there's no modesty code? Does it help? And then why do some private schools have uniforms? It must do something. Why does our military still have uniforms to wear? Why does Southwest Airlines have uniforms they have to, you know, it's something about looking sharp. I wonder how many people joined our military because they said, when I saw the parade come by, they looked so sharp, I wanted to be a part of that. It's something about it. Something about it. And then we see here, God's plan for clothing. In Proverbs 31, I love this. And this is the virtuous woman. And it's Proverbs 31 and verse number 22, I believe it is. 31 and 22, the last chapter in Proverbs. Here it is, Proverbs 31. We need to know what we believe and why. 31, 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing. This is what she's made to wear. This virtuous woman is silk and purple, rich, rich colors, elegant colors. Look nice on her. And then we see, number three, not going to take time to read it. Clothing is to glorify God. Bible says, whatsoever you do, whether you eat, drink, whatever you do, glorify God in it. All to the glory of God. Number four, protect. That's in Genesis, Adam and Eve. They were naked, and God gave them coats to wear. It's for protection. Then number five, quickly, it's also for modesty. It's for modesty. We didn't take time to go into all of the scriptures there, but modesty. I think you remember when Adam and Eve sinned, they found out they were naked. This is the actual fig leaves right here. This is what they look like. It was the Garden of Eden was in Hawaii originally. It's in the Greek, but when they sinned, the lights went out. No longer were they clothed with light, and so they put on aprons. They made themselves aprons of fig leaves. You remember the story, Jason? Why don't you come help me for a second, okay? Because this just doesn't quite fit me. Here, just come on up here and just. Here, stand all the way up here. Okay, look at that. Looks like he's getting his degree again. And let's see if we can just tie this around you. Okay, give me that string here. Give me that string. Okay, so here it is. And so this is about what Adam and Eve would have looked like originally. And I think it would have been just about like this. So this is what they thought was modest. Can you turn around? Not very modest in the back. And so Adam and Eve said, this is good. This is modest, in our opinion, looks good to me. And God says, it doesn't look good to me. And God gave them coats, like a full-length coat, covered front, back, arms, chest, legs. So they were covered, and they were modest. Let me give you a few definitions. You can wear that today. And I might use it Sunday, so just keep it on, Jason. No, I'm just kidding you. Good sport. So quickly here, let me just give you these definitions so we can go. So modesty, number five, Exodus 32, 25. That's the verse. Moses is up on the mount. Now the Israelites are dancing around the golden calf, and the word is naked. Anytime people get away from the Lord, they start taking clothes off. And let me encourage you this summer, parents, and we're not against people going swim, brothers swimming, we're brother, family swimming together, things like that. You know, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, as you are shedding some hot clothing, make sure all the clothing is still modest. Well, it's summer. God never said be modest 2 months out of the year. And so they got away from the Lord. Now they're taking clothes off. 1 Timothy 2, 9. And the Bible says, that the women are to be adorned in modest apparel. Now, what do these words mean? Give you the definitions quickly. Adorn means to bring beauty. So when it talks about clothing, it mentions it mostly to the women. God does not address the men very much on this thing of clothing. How come? Hate to shock you. Because for the most part, women don't lust after men. I've counseled 37 years. I've never had a woman make an appointment and say, Pastor, I'm just full of lust. My mind is just so messed up. I am lusting after the men at the church. Oh, would you help me with my eyes? Give me scripture. No, women don't do that. Men do. We men battle lust because it's built inside of us. It's a temptation. And so that's why God talks to the women so much about here's what you need to wear. And so here's the definition. Adorn means to bring beauty. It means bring beauty. The word modest means well-ordered, sharp. And it also means accessories. Years ago, we had a sweet lady, so faithful in our church, Vi Miller. Vi Miller, she passed away, I think, when she was in her early 90s. That lady, every church service, if she had on a green dress, she had matching green shoes, she had a green bag, she had matching earrings, necklace, bracelet. I mean, she had outfits with all the accessories. Ladies, close your ears when we just said that. You're not Vi Miller and you don't need them. But I want them. It's okay. And then the word apparel means draping fashion. We cut down a tree in our backyard recently. Please don't tell the tree huggers. In fact, it was three people hugging it while I cut it down. They're in sad shape. But didn't cut it all the way down yet. But when that tree came down, all this sunlight came in our kitchen. So the kitchen temperature went up like 20 degrees. My wife says, we need a curtain. I said, a curtain? Isn't it gonna? And she found one. You order it and it's there 2 hours later. I don't know how it works. And so, man, it shows up. And it's got pleats and, we threw it in the dryer. So it's hanging in a draping fashion. It's not tight. It is loosely hanging. So when he talks about modest apparel, he's talking about a woman is to have clothes that hang on her, not shrink wrap around her. Then let's keep going here quickly. Acts 19. You'll have to look at this one later. The demons jump into this guy and they pull his clothes off and he runs out naked. Again, devils, demons, idol worship. It all makes people want to take clothes off instead of be modest. The maniac of Gadara, Luke 8:27, and he was naked. Mark 5:15, when he met Jesus, and he put his clothes on. He was clothed and in his right minds. Sometimes our missionaries, they'll go to foreign countries and people are naked. And then when they get saved and receive the gospel, they start putting clothes on. Then they go on furlough to come back, visit their churches in America. And they found out everybody in America is taking their clothes off. But pastor, it's accepted. It is. The devil really accepts that. He accepts that. And then we see in Matthew 5, just for a second, we'll wrap this up. Matthew 5, thanks for hanging with us. Matthew 5, and look down in verse number 28. Matthew 5, in verse number 28. You still here? You okay? Jesus is speaking, so it must be true. By the way, all the Bible's true, whether it's Jesus speaking or not. Matthew 5, 28, but I say unto you, verse 27, you have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And of course, they're listening. The crowd saying, well, sure, it's in the Ten Commandments. Verse 28, but I say unto you, Jesus always strengthened the command, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So the key part is with her. So a woman wears something that causes lust, whatever it is that causes lust. A man looks at her, thinks lustful thoughts. God says, okay, you committed adultery because of the way you were dressed, and you committed adultery because of the way you thought. Well, pastor, I've never committed adultery. God says, if we've thought it, we've done it. So it's a big deal here. It's a real big deal how a woman clothes herself. Now, some people are so perverted, they can look at somebody in a potato sack and still lust. So I did a survey years ago. I asked a group of men, I said, what would cause you to lust? These weren't people just off the street. These were people who regularly attended church. You want to hear this? Okay, even if you don't, I'm going to read it. Okay, here's one. When a woman shows her thighs, the thighs, anything above the knee, when she wears shorts, when she has a low neckline, when she has a slip that goes above her knee and reveals her thigh, when she's in a bathing suit, when her clothing is tight or clingy, when a woman is not wearing underclothing under her clothes, when her midriff is revealed, when her clothing is see-through, when her top buttons are unbuttoned on the blouse, when she has tight clothing, I said this, when cleavage on her chest is revealed, when she looks real good in jeans. I'm just telling you what they said. I didn't say that at all. I just read it. So let's look at these last verses here. Say, Pastor, this is so deep. Look back at Proverbs 7 for just a moment. Proverbs 7, chapter 7. And Solomon is being is teaching his son about what woman not to chase. He's warning her. He's saying, be careful. And he describes the woman on the street, Proverbs 7. Look down, please, in verse number 10. Proverbs 7, 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. So he said, there was a woman that dressed like a harlot. So what is the attire? Well, I can guarantee you, wherever they are, no matter what city they're in, they don't hold up a sign. Harlot. The prostitutes don't hold up a sign. Prostitute for hire. They don't need a sign. They just dress the part. I've seen them in Oakland. I've seen them in Vallejo. I've seen them. I've seen them on the street corners. They don't have much on. They want it very apparent. I'm for sale. And God says, Christian ladies ought to want to be as far away as that as possible. And so it's important that mamas make sure their daughters dress modest, whether the daughters want to or not. They may be leaving the house and you may have to say, I'm sorry, it's not Carnival Sunday till next month. Get that stuff off. It may be, oh, wow, you look nice, but you forgot your skirt. You just have a blouse on. Go back in and get a skirt. It may be a battle from time to time, but it's worth the battle.